start your weekend.
Saturday Breakfast with Matt Webb.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So it is now 9:30 and I'm pleased to welcome my guest this morning, the paramedic Rachel Hearn, who's going to be telling us more about an upcoming attempt to row across the Indian Ocean to get this raise £100,000 for Parkinson's and PTSD charities. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Matt.
And it's quite interesting, actually, because we sort of met each other through a mutual friend.
Who
shares the same name as me. He's also called Matt Webb. He's a paramedic. But he messaged me to say, oh, you want to get Rachel on your show, but she's got some great things coming up. And obviously sharing the same name, I couldn't really say no, could I really?
Yeah, Matt's been really supportive of the whole row and adventure side. So he really encourages me and he has been really good trying to spread the word and get me on things.
So very quickly, just tell us a bit about what you've been doing with regards to rowing.
Next year, we're hoping as a team of four to be the first people in the world to row from mainland Australia to mainland Africa across the Indian Ocean, which is going to take about 100 days, hopefully, but it's never been done before, so we don't know
days.
Entirely. Yeah, so non-stop, unsupported at sea that whole time.
And there's going to be a team of you, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a team of four of us. We're doing two stages, so there's a team of four doing the Atlantic first, and then two people are coming to Australia, and then two of us are joining them, and then us four will be hopefully completing the Indian Ocean row.
So how do you four know each other?
So the person whose brainchild it is, Billy Taylor, put out an advert on an adventure group online looking for people who would be willing to do something like this, and we applied and we all met up and then got selected, and so we never knew each other before.
So I suppose there's been lots of team building that's had to be put in place to make sure that you know each other's strokes and each other's abilities and those sorts of things.
Yeah, we're getting there. We've had a few team building things. We actually haven't been out on the water yet rowing.
Oh, really?
So that'll be interesting. And I've never rowed before, so that wasn't a requirement. They just wanted people who were up for the challenge and were willing to give it a go.
Well, you're in Cambridge today. You could go and have a practice along the River Cam, couldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I might do. I'll probably go for a punt afterwards.
That sounds like a good thing to do. And obviously, you're raising money for a couple of charities. Why these charities in particular, Parkinson's and PTSD charities?
So the whole project is about raising research for Parkinson's and PTSD. Two of our rowers, one of the lady on the Atlantic Ocean, has early onset Parkinson's disease. So we're working with Oxford Brookes University to research the illnesses. And then my crewmate on the Indian Ocean row has PTSD after a career in the fire service. So we're hoping to raise lots of money, but also it's the research that is going to be invaluable, we hope.
And obviously post-traumatic stress disorder can affect anyone, whether it be someone who works for a charity or in the police. It can impact on anyone, and it's one of these conditions that is very difficult to often diagnose in people, isn't it? Because you've got lots of complications. I know a friend who suffered from PTSD after getting involved in a car accident, for example, and has struggled over the years to sort of come to terms with what happened and relives what happened, and it's very difficult. And obviously making sure there's those support networks in place is really important, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, especially with mental health these days, it's one of these things that you can't see, so it's not so easy to pick up on and diagnose. Even in yourself, it's not that easy to recognise. And from my point of view and my background, it's becoming an increasing problem in the emergency services. It would be great to build research, to raise money.
So you're seeing an increase in people who've had an accident, for example, and then immediately suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Because it sometimes doesn't manifest itself straight away, does it? It can actually be a little bit further along the line, maybe even a month or two after the accident or incident has taken place.
Yeah, from my point of view, it's more the people who work for the emergency services. Yes, the people, our patients, will develop lots of problems because of things that we're involved in treating them. But it's the emergency services, the exposure to all of these things that is making PTSD an increasing problem, unfortunately.
Do you have support networks within the ambulance service for if for example, you've gone to an awful RTC, for example, road traffic collision? Are there support networks in place, not just through your colleagues, but through the NHS themselves?
So colleagues are probably our best support, definitely, in dealing with it straight after. We're becoming a lot better as an organisation for developing things. We try and steal a lot from the military for their debriefing and their management. There's increasing awareness and research, and it is getting better and better every year, hopefully.
So have you had lots of people donating to your cause so far? And obviously you've been mentioning it on social media, I've noticed, on your Facebook wall in particular. But yeah. Have you had lots of people get in touch to say, we want to support you, we think that what you're doing is brilliant?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate. We've had quite a few organisations that have wanted to get involved and have been really generous. We're at the point at the moment where we're fundraising the actual row, and then once that is, the costs are covered, we're going to be going on to raise the money for the charity. So at the moment, we're just desperately trying to get any organisation, any generous person who wants to help us fundraise, to actually get to the start line. It's the hardest bit, is covering the cost of the actual project. But yeah, I'm really keen to get local organisations involved, and I've been trying to approach everybody in Suffolk, Norfolk, Cambridgeshire, and trying to really get the East Anglia message.
Ignite a spark, as it were. It tends to be when word of mouth spreads through local businesses, you'll get a bit more of a take-up, won't you?
Yeah, definitely. It seems to be people that have met the crew, have seen the boat, become really passionate and really realise the challenge that we're, and the risk that we're taking on, and are really keen to get involved. So it's just building on that and building momentum at the moment.
So just tell us a bit about the boat that you're using.
There's not much to tell you about it. It is 29 foot long. It's an ocean rowing boat. The cabin that we'll be living in, bearing in mind we're four people, is two-thirds the size of a double bed.
Oh, crikey.
You can't stand up. I won't be walking for 100 days at sea because there is nowhere to walk. It's just when you're rowing, you're sat on the open rowing boat in all the elements, and then when you come off the oars, you go into the cabin and you're literally sat or laid down, eating, trying to sleep, trying to clean yourself all the salt water to prevent sores and things. And we're going to be doing it in 2 hours on, 2 hours off. So for 100 days, we will be rowing and resting in 2 hour cycles.
And when you say rest, obviously cramp might set in, for example. So I suppose that you have to learn sort of exercises so you don't end up cramping up. Because that's going to be the worst thing that happens if you get a cramped leg or cramping your shoulders, for example. How are you going to battle that?
Well, I think it's inevitable. I think realising that it's going to happen is the first thing, probably. Trying to get ourselves in peak physical condition before we get out there rowing is the best thing to hopefully prevent injuries, but also make us recover quicker, because there will be no recovery time. But it's all the simple things, like having to completely wash yourself up once you come into the cabin, because you will be covered in salt water. I don't know. We'll get out there and we'll figure it out. But luckily, I've got a few more experienced rowers who are part of the challenge with me, so I'm going to just follow their lead.
So you're going to be taking a stash of food with you, or are you going to get like people dropping it in on a helicopter or something like that?
An airdrop would be nice.
How's that going to work?
So we take everything. So everything for probably about 120 days, because we have to allow for it overrunning. We're going to have all of our food supplies. We've got a water maker, a desalinator in the boat, all of my medical kit, everything. There is no resupply, there's no support boat, we're not stopping anywhere. We have to be able to survive at sea for 120 days, come what may.
And I suppose your paramedic background is really going to help with that, obviously, with the things that you have to deal with. And obviously, if someone gets injured on the boat, in worst case scenario, you might be able to, should be able to deal with some of the scenarios that might come up.
Yeah, hopefully. I think it's one of the reasons that I got selected for the crew was my background. And it's hopefully going to help us avoid any big disasters. But, I mean, I'm not against throwing them overboard if they become too much of a burden. I'd rather...
Walk the plank?
Yeah, walk the plank would be easier for me.
So you mentioned that you'd like local businesses to support you. How would they go about supporting you? Do you have contact details, a website, for example, that people can visit, or social media?
Yeah, so we've got a website, we've got social media. It's Monkey Fist Adventures is the name of the organisation, and it's the Brainwaves Project is our challenge, which covers the Atlantic and the Indian. So if people Google Monkey Fist Adventures, if they look on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, everything, we're spreading the word out there and get in touch and try and help us.
Well, your mum has messaged in this morning. She, I'll say what she said. Obviously, the Dolly Parton track that we played before we started speaking to you was especially for you. And she says, from your very proud mum and family. There we are. That's really sweet, isn't it?
That's quite clean for my mum.
Really? Yeah. What would she normally say?
I couldn't repeat it live on air.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Rachel, the very best of luck. Do let us know how you get on with the row, and let us know how much money you've raised. We'll have to get you back on again, and maybe the rest of your team too, because it'll be really interesting to talk about your experiences on the water. And
if we're still talking to each other.
If you're still talking, well, hopefully you will be, and it won't be that bad. But the best of luck with the row from all of us here at Cambridge 105 Radio, and we hope you raise lots of money for some really worthy causes. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.